And this is Coast Community Radio, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Halifax, Dingle, anywhere else in Ireland and all over this country, right here in Astoria, Tillamook. And it is kind of funny, you know, it's kind of like when you learn about mushrooms and then you see them everywhere. Well, having been heavily exposed to Celtic music, I know I didn't imagine it, that both, of course, Thistle and Shamrock, and then E-Town featured Celtic singers. And then last night was another fabulous show on, of course, on KMUN and KTCB. So the music is alive and well, and it is alive and well right here in our region as well. And it is 3 o'clock on the very first day of November 2013. It's All Saints Day, whoever your favorite saint is, or sinner perhaps. We'll get to that in a minute. And yes, I did mention saints and sinners. Well, we've got a concert coming up tomorrow, and I'm going to warm you up a little bit with some organ music, because that's what we are featuring right here at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. Thanks for being here. Welcome. That I ever thought I would say that a piece of music, a piece of Johann Sebastian Bach music is known by everybody, but this is one of the pieces that a lot of folks go around humming. It's the Fugue in G minor, and I'm not sure if it's going to be played tomorrow, but my guests are going to tell us what's going on and what is going to be played. So let me welcome Dr. Denise Reed, the wearing a lot of hats, actually. Hi, Denise. Denise is the director and conductor of the North Coast Chorale, but she's also the person who took the bull by its horns. I'm not sure that's a good analogy, but with the organ at the Performing Arts Center, the SD Opus 1429 organ, which had been sitting there for a long time. To his credit, Josef Galt saw it and said, guys, we got to save this. And the Bloomfield family put some money on it, and a few other people did too, but it still just sat until Denise came along and said, hey, guys, we really need to do something. So thank you, Denise.
Yes.
And today she brought with her one of the stars for tomorrow's concert, and that would be Paul Tagels from Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, who is going to be playing the organ tomorrow. So welcome to Coast Community Radio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good. We're very happy to have you. And Denise, why don't you give us a little background about what's going to be going on and who these people are and how this all came together, and then we'll let Paul talk
about
shop.
That's good. This concert, Saints and Sinners, it's called. And kind of challenging title here, as we just finished with Halloween and All Saints Day.
All Saints Day is today. And Day of the Dead is tomorrow.
Yeah, ooh. So it's kind of timely, the title was. Mm-hmm. We have Jason Newman Grable, who has been working on the organ for a year. Mm-hmm. He's going to give a little talk about what's been going on with it at the concert and play a little bit. And we have Christopher Wicks, who's from Silverton, Oregon, who has done a lot of composing. And I was thinking we might get him up to the Northwest, because he said that last time he composed some music, he was up in the Northwest, and he just remembered how fresh the air was and that he might want to do that.
Aha.
And then we have Paul from Pacific Lutheran University, and both of them are going to create some beautiful music. And I say create because it's always creating, even though someone else wrote it before. You always create some beautiful music, and that's the performer that does that creation.
I really appreciate that you said that, because often one thinks of a singer, for example, as just the singer or just the piano player. I'm going, excuse me? Without this person interpreting, et cetera.
Right.
So let's give the details about the concert.
Okay. The details about the concert are it's tomorrow at 2:00 at the PEC, the Performing Arts Center, Clatsop Community College Performing Arts Center. And there will be those three persons who will be performing. And the time, like I said, is 2:00. There was something else you wanted me to say, so I have
right.
To
well, this is a benefit concert.
This is a benefit concert. That's what I have to say, to benefit the partners of the PAC, Save the PAC, and also the Clatsop Community College Scholarship Foundation program. And so that's what it's going to be benefiting. We are still trying to keep that facility to the PAC going and vital. And I think that the organ there adds something to it.
Oh, yeah.
We want to draw people to the Northwest, to Astoria. And we're hoping that the organ in that PAC and some of the other performing groups that we have and facilities that we have here in Astoria will draw people. And we're hoping this
clearly
will.
This is working, because Paul is sitting
right
here now, and Christopher will be here tomorrow as well. And I do want to mention the Performing Arts Center is on 16th and Franklin. You can, I believe, get tickets at Holly McCone's.
Yes, you can.
On
and
commercial.
Also at Brown Paper Tickets online.
Online.
Also,
you can or do that. It would be lovely if it sold out, but there probably will be tickets at the door as well. So just come early, and it's open seating, so you definitely want to come and get yourself a seat.
Right. I'd like to say that, you know, Paul is donating his time at the organ for this concert.
Wow.
And, you know, if somebody else sees the importance of a performing arts center and an organ in a place that's that most people wouldn't visit, mm-hmm. what about the community? Don't we want to pull other people in? So we're hoping to get a lot of community support mm-hmm. on this, to support us having this facility in our midst that will draw other people.
Right.
It's very important, the arts.
And it's going to be a very exciting concert.
Yes,
so,
it
Paul,
is.
That's your introduction.
Yeah.
And let me ask you to tell us just a little bit about yourself first. We already determined you were born in the Netherlands.
Yes.
But you've been in this country a long time.
I've been in this country for about 35 years now.
Yeah. All in the Pacific Northwest?
No, I lived for 4 years in Boston. That's uh-huh. where I did part of my graduate work, at the New England Conservatory of Music. Lived for 2 years in Chattanooga, Tennessee, taught there at the small liberal arts college, then did my doctorate at the University of Iowa in Iowa City.
So you moved slowly but
slowly
surely
west.
Across
so
the
yes,
weekend.
And then Kansas for 5 years, Bethany College in Lindsborg, where I taught for 5 years, and then I moved here. So my next step is Hawaii, I suppose.
All right.
plan to stay here.
Yeah, good. No, we're planning to keep you here. Are you kidding? Now, when you say you taught at these places and what you did your degree in, Has it always been focused around the organ, or do you?
It always has. Yes,
it has.
I went through the whole conservatory system in the Netherlands, and always kept my focus on organ performance, organ teaching, a little bit of organ pedagogy, and history and design, and so on. That's all sort of included in all of that.
Ooh, so we have a scholar here. Holy
wow.
cow!
Not so you know,
not
the
just
a
musician, as
right.
I was saying. And why? What? At a young age, what made you decide on the organ?
Well, that was very simple. I grew up in a very small village, about 500 people, and I sang in the church choir, and the organist got sick. And I was the only person who was taking piano lessons at the time.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I actually started on the accordion, but that's I don't really do that very much.
You can carry it around.
I can carry it around. It's true. But... So then I was put behind the organ and started playing for church and thought it was kind of cool and sort of kept going with it.
So this is a great story for young people and also for being in a small town. Mm-hmm. I mean, yours was tiny, 500 people. Yeah, but still, you were called upon then and here you are now all these years later.
Right.
So in your classes... Do you teach actual organ playing, or is it theory, appreciation? What is it?
And my position at PLU is sort of a combination of many things. I'm the organist for the university, so I play for university events, and then I teach all the organ students. So sometimes they're music majors, sometimes they have another major, but they just like to take organ lessons, so mm-hmm. I teach those students as well. And then I do general music classes, ear training, music history, mm-hmm. and so on.
Mm-hmm. I'm still a little stuck on the idea of the organ as a featured instrument, because I'm thinking there aren't that many organs around. And again, you don't carry it around, although you could have a keyboard, but that's quite different.
It's really the pipes, the real sound that makes, to me at least, all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. You can put a conductor in front of a CD and, you know, nobody would dream of that. But you can, somehow we seem to accept the fact that organ sound out of a speaker is acceptable. To me, it pipes is what makes all the difference.
Right. Well,
so
right.
I'm really glad that you have the initiative here to restore this instrument and mm-hmm. to make it come alive again.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So what will we hear tomorrow?
You'll hear a variety of music from different styles, different regions, some Mendelssohn mm. sonata, some French romantic music, some Bach, Prelude and Fugue, mm-hmm. start out with that. The very quite famous Bistu by Mir that sometimes is heard on the on weddings, and it's just a beautiful melody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to use the organ as in as many situations, in many different sounds, to get different sounds out of the organ, to make it sort of exuberant, mm-hmm. to make it more intimate. And an organ is one of the very few instruments that has sort of limitless possibilities.
Mm, right. Mm. I have to mention something that Paul told me when I was emailing him about the program and the title. He said, I said, well, how is your program coming? He says, well, I'm doing okay with the sinner's parts. It's the saint's parts that isn't quite coming together yet.
Yes.
All right.
Actually, it's tomorrow. It's All Souls Day. I should have put some soul in the, in the music.
There you go. Well, you know, that's really funny because, again, a lot of people think of the organ as church, strictly either church or the other one, which is really bizarre, is from my day anyway. I don't know about today, but the skating rink.
Right, and the theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the theater, yes. So that was the other side of it. But there was something I wanted to...
Well, we'd like to also use it for the theater. We're thinking about an idea of showing some, maybe having Mick or someone else show some silent movies and getting somebody to play. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
And there is quite a bit of music for organ and other instruments to put a brass ensemble on the stage.
Oh, definitely. That's the other thing, right?
Oh, that was mm-hmm. what I was going to ask you. Is the music that you're playing, was all this music written for organ?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Because last week, Dave Becker from the North Coast Symphonic Band gave us a very interesting, for a lot of us who don't know this, the difference between the orchestra and the band, and the fact that in the earlier days, a lot of the bands would just take orchestral music and translate it for band because there wasn't anything written. And I said, well, who did the strings? And he said, the clarinet. So this is interesting. This music is written for the organ.
Right.
How far back do we go?
The earliest is Bach. So Baroque music. We okay. just heard it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is quite wonderful. And yeah. again, a lot of us who don't even know that we're familiar with this mm-hmm. kind of music, classical mm-hmm. music, I would never. Yes, you hear it and you mm-hmm. know it. It's kind of inside us. So excellent. Any idea how longish the concert is going to be?
Each of the performers are going to do a 40 to 45 minute program. Jason, the renovator, he's going to give a talk maybe and play a couple of pieces. Maybe that'll be
beforehand.
About 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 to 20
this is
minutes.
A very rich, full concert.
Right. And I just like to say we are so fortunate that these people have consented to come and play a concert for us.
Absolutely.
It is just, I mean, everyone who is going to be performing, they are just the top notch.
Yeah.
And we invite everybody out yeah. to hear this
it's
because it's
very
going to be fantastic.
Exciting. Obviously, we didn't have the organ, so we didn't have it. But even with the organ, to bring in the caliber of
artist
is very special. And mm-hmm. a big thank you from the community, Paul, for donating mm-hmm. your time here.
Right.
And, of course, you know, you don't live too far away, so you may have you may have opened Pandora's box. But we also have a gift for one lucky person who is going to pick up the telephone right now and call 503-325-0010 and speak to David and say, yes, please, I would love to have that ticket for tomorrow's concert, 2 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin in Astoria, Saints and Sinners, and it's going to be a fabulous concert. I had just noted down contrasts, and I think you've said all this in different words, in sound, color, mood, tempo, and all of the contrasts and triumph and struggle, dark and light, and all of this we'll be hearing from the organ, which is very exciting.
It is fantastic.
Great. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Paul Tagles, one of the two. We have three performers, Jason Newman-Grable, who has been plugging along for the last year, renovating the organ, and who will talk to us and perhaps play something. And then Paul Tagles and Christopher Wicks, who will each be giving us a very special concert. And thank you, Denise Reed, for spearheading this.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yes. So
okay.
Thank you.
Again, this is tomorrow, 325-0010. See you later.
Thank
See you,
you
tomorrow. Okay. I do have a piece of music right now that I, this is from one of the albums I brought back from Ireland. And I just heard on the news that the Rainbow Warrior, the Greenpeace ship, is going to be, I think I may have heard it on Joanne's program, the ship report, is going to be in Vancouver, Washington. So this is a piece called and dedicated to the Rainbow Warrior from Owen Dignan. was Rainbow Warrior from the album Timeless by Owen Deignan on the featured, and a composition was written for the Rainbow Warrior, one of Greenpeace boats protecting whales and dolphins, and we send that out to all the people who are protecting the whales and the dolphins and all the creatures at sea, all the creatures on land, and the river itself. You know what I'm talking about. Well, right now, I have some folks with me who are doing their share to protect our environment and our world by bringing all kinds of fantastic exhibits to the area. This is the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco. And I have here Betsy Millard. Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
And Bruce Peterson.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you, Bruce. Bruce, who preceded me to Ireland. And Bruce is a professional photographer, so he knew how to send his pictures back.
We're looking forward to your stories.
Yeah, right. So before we even get to the featured show that's coming up tomorrow night, which is 6x6 by the sea. There we go. We're starting right there. Tell us a little bit about the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, because you guys do all kinds of stuff there.
We do. We are a we're primarily a heritage museum. We tell the stories of the region through artifacts and exhibits and programs and things like that. But we also we have a broad enough mission that we like to include a lot of art. Because art tells the story of our times. People like to delve into their own personal stories and histories. And so much of history is about just that, telling our stories and making sure that that what we know lives on. Yeah. So we find lots and lots of ways to do that. And one of the show that's up right now in our special exhibit gallery and will be up through the end of the year is photographs and ink, pen, and ink drawings by a gentleman named Charles Fitzpatrick, who lived in Ocean Park from 1927 to the early 60s.
Oh.
Documented everything.
Oh, great.
Fascinating. Fascinating to see the way the towns and the dunes and the landscape looked in the 1930s, 1940s, and how much it's changed. And so it's really, it's a wonderful, wonderful show. And he was a very interesting fellow, very talented, and we're lucky that we have so much work left to be able to show it.
Yeah. This is fantastic. And having just mentioned photography, it's interesting to hear that these were all sketches, pen and ink, drawings. And
I really love this exhibit. I think it's wonderful. And Betsy talked about, you know, how we've seen the peninsula change, but we've also seen a lot of things that have stayed the same. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Mr. Fitzpatrick did was capture these iconic views that we have up and down the coast here that that we still luckily still have today, and it's beautiful to see these things.
And that's why we need to dedicate ourselves to continuing to protect this, because we're the lucky ones who live here. That makes us the ones responsible for
and
it as well.
Document it, and through photography, through painting, through music, through storytelling, whatever way.
I
we
like
love to keep it all there.
You mentioned the idea of telling our stories through music, and that is, I mean, you know, that's what so many of the, in Ireland, that's what they're all doing, isn't it? All
these
stories they're telling through music, too.
You can't get them to stop singing.
That's it. And right here, too. And we're going to have some musicians coming up soon. But so now, back to tomorrow night is the show called 6x6 by the Sea. It's actually the fourth annual 6x6 show. Is that right?
It's hard to believe, but yes, that is true.
And it is our primary fundraiser. The proceeds that we get from this exhibit, we have a little exhibit, and then we have the auction, and
which is a blast.
And I'll let Bruce tell you more about
because Bruce makes it a blast. Oh my Lord, it's worth going. Well, you got to bring your checkbook, of course,
we love
your plastic or something, you know. But Bruce makes it a performance art as well. So
we just try and have fun with it. It's what we do. You know, one thing we don't want is some stodgy
not a problem. Not a question.
No, we want something that's great fun for everybody.
And well, yeah.
We have refreshments and food and lots of stuff to make it comfortable.
So who are the artists? So 6x6 is 6 inches by 6 inches was the mandate.
That's the idea.
And it's two-dimensional, and you have some three-dimensional.
If it'll fit in a 6-inch cube, then it's good to go.
Cube. Okay.
You know,
good, because I saw David Campiche, and I know it's got to be.
There's several pieces of ceramics in the show. We have one piece that is knitted, entirely knitted.
Oh, how fun.
Lots of paintings, photography, some drawing. I'm trying to think of.
No aprons this year.
They're a little too small.
Although we do miss the aprons.
Yes. Yeah. I've still got mine hanging
up. The artists have been wonderful, and the artists have always they've actually come to us. Many of them have come to us saying, "I'd like to do it this year." And of course, many of them have done it all 4 years. But we have new people each year as well. So,
well, you know, I found when I was soliciting, and I kind of would be a little bit embarrassed, and then I found very quickly that a lot of our local artists, although you know it's unfair to put upon the same people over and over, on the other hand, those of us who are working and spending so much of our volunteer time doing things, the artists say, hey, this is how I can give back. And so they do exactly what you say. They are glad to offer a piece of work to benefit something they believe in.
And we hope that by doing it as a 6x6 mm-hmm. by 6 inches, small enough to pretty much go anywhere, and small enough also for the artist not to feel like they're put upon, or that they're having to take a piece out of their own rotation,
I have to say, some of those 6x6s, my God, they get more on that 6x6 than I've seen in a room full of stuff. So,
well, they do.
Who are the artists? Where do they come from? Are they all from the peninsula?
No, they're not all from the peninsula. We have a number of folks from both sides of the river. Mm-hmm. We also have people up and around the bay. We have Wally Mann, who lives in Tokeland. Mm-hmm. Charles Funk, who lives in Chehalis, who's one of the he's a member of the Chinook tribe.
Oh yeah.
And then we have some people who are from this side of the river. Bruce has his list looking at.
You want to?
Well, John Gleason is a Nakata Seattle. We have a lot of folks that sort of do duty in two different towns and sort of help out when they're here. Just to sort of harken back to what you just spoke about, the level of generosity we've seen from artists has just been outstanding. Mm-hmm. People have really stepped up to contribute to this. And I think the 6x6 offers a unique challenge to them to create something in a smaller format, but that still has some nice impact. So we're very thrilled with the level of artwork we have this year.
I've had artists say to me they like being given specifics because then they have to use their creative juices to figure out how am I going to get what I usually do.
We let people cheat a little bit. Bruce, for instance, did a diptych this year, which is wonderful.
We have a couple of 6x6.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So he's cheating a little bit. But
we have a couple of diptychs, actually. Betty Lou Krause did a diptych as well, which is great.
I got her piece either last year or 2 years ago at the 6x6. And I got one from my apron. One of them comes from Scott Leeing from Dots and Doodles here in Astoria, which was glorious.
Well, they're one of our business partners. They help us get all the canvases and boards every year, and they always contribute as well as contribute artwork.
As well as the art,
So we're just thrilled with them.
So, folks, how you do this, the silent auction, you've got to be there. You really do need time for this, too, because there is a lot of work. How many pieces do you have?
We have 66 pieces. Could be 67. You'll have to pardon me.
In the silent?
Overall. There'll be 20 pieces in the live auction, and then we have 4 tables in the silent. The live auction starts at 6 p.m. The doors open at 5, and we have libations, and we have wonderful food.
Libations, woo! Not just drink, folk.
Yeah. Well, maybe just drink. Exactly.
No, I like it. Sounds good.
So
be there in time so that you can spend time, take a walk around, and something might grab you immediately. You put your name right on it.
That's right. And we have this year, we have the new buy it now option.
Oh.
So if you don't have a lot of time, but you have $200 in your checkbook, you can pretty much get anything on the silent. Everything on the silent has a buy it now. Live we can't do that way.
No, of course.
Because of course. Bruce has it all planned out.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that live thing, though, go out of whack. I mean, my God, thousands of dollars coming in because...
Well, they seem to have a good time with it.
It's a blast.
But
it's,
I told Betsy time. Earlier that the live, the Buy It Now feature is for nervous people. People that just, you know, the suspense is killing them. And
non-gamblers.
They want to bring it to a close.
That's
so,
it. That's
so we've provided an outlet
now,
for those
folks. That's fair.
Folks.
That's fair. Although, you know, that means really you do need to get there early, and if something grabs you, you better grab it, and or walk around once, then walk around again, and start putting your number on things, because let me tell you, you can get wiped out of everything because somebody is going to be following you. It's happened to me. I had a bidding war with someone. It was on the aprons. Oh my gosh. I almost didn't speak to him. Now we're good friends. So, but it's really a good time. The art is top of the line. And most of all, you are benefiting this fabulous institution, the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, which used to have a much simpler name, the Ilwaco Museum, although I've gotten used to
the full
calling
Columbia
it the
Pacific.
Whole thing. Now, tell folks where it is.
Yes, we're in Ilwaco at 115 Southeast Lake Street. If you need any information at all, please feel free to call us. I'll give you our numbers, 360-642-3446.
And somebody will be there tomorrow as well.
We're there all
day.
We're there at 10 o'clock in the morning and 10 to 4 on Saturdays. Okay. We'll take a little hour to shift things around, reopen the doors at 5 for the event.
Great. Okay. It's going to be exciting.
Well, I'd also like to point out that the museum is our number one cultural asset, and we really hope folks will come out and help support it.
Yeah, and if you haven't, now, did you say that, will people actually be able to look at the other exhibit tomorrow night, or is that going to be closed off?
We will probably have it closed off just because we don't have enough people to staff all of that with everything going on.
But if you haven't been to the museum, go there for this. Have a good time, entertaining evening. Take home some beautiful art, and also find out where this place is and how you can go back another time.
Yes, and we're always free on Thursdays.
Oh,
we always like to get admission, but we're free on Thursdays.
During the whole day?
All day.
Holy
thanks
moly.
To the Port of Ilwaco, who has sponsored that. And it's a great time to come on over, and we're open 10 to 4.
Bring the kids.
Bring the kids.
Yeah. And then you'll want to go back, and you'll want to become a member, too, because we're very, very lucky here. We're so tiny, but we are so rich, and we do need to support these institutions that keep us going. So, terrific. Tomorrow night, again, that is a Saturday, the 2nd of November, and it's at 5 o'clock, which is nice and early. So you can, you know, if you do have plans for something later on in the evening, you can go over and just plunk that buy it now, and then drink some libations, do a little dance, and head on out.
Well, we move it along quickly.
Yes,
so.
You do. And you are hilarious, Bruce. Okay, so thank you so much, Betsy Millard and Bruce Peterson from the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. Again, the phone number there, 360-642-3446. Oh, is there a website?
There is, ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org. And we're also on Facebook, of course.
Okay, except I'm not, so none of that of course stuff for me. Okay, thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for keeping that museum going.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
Thanks
okay.
for having us, Carol.
And this is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, CoastRadio.org. Next week, also at 5 o'clock, so you can fit in a couple of things on the 9th, is Tom May is coming to town. We used to feature Tom May right here on Coast Community Radio, and he has a show called River City Folk. So have a listen. He's going to be at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach, and they are having, I think they're featuring Jan Richardson with the Northwest Artists Guild tomorrow. There's an art opening at 5. So if you're not the nervous type, you can stop there on your way. That's in Long Beach. Have a listen, Tom May. And the name is Watching the River Flow.
From the mountains to the sea. It's summer, but that water's 42 degrees. listen to the music singing, keep me rolling free. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow, watching the river flow through my town. A wilderness road for Lewis and Clark back in 1805. With Sacagawea and a faith in God, somehow they all survived. Now it chokes and poisons, so I'm glad they're not alive. To watch the river flow, watching the river flow, watching the river flow through my town. Old man sitting on a river shore, he don't catch as many as he caught before. There's more in the water than you might think. Don't dip the hat to take a drink, but ah, the beauty of the moonlight on the river when all's asleep. As the towns turn into cities, well, the water turns to gold. And there's contracts signed at the city halls where the water is bought and sold. Our rivers are dancing children that their families want controlled. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow, watching the river flow through my town. And the swimming pools and the sprinklers on the lawn, for the nuclear cores and washing the cars. And when the water's gone, we'll buy ourselves more rivers just to keep those faucets on. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow, watching the river flow through my town. Watching the river flow, watching the river flow, watching the river flow through my town.
And that was some music from Tom May, and now some music live from my next guests. Have a listen, and then I'll introduce them. You'll be very delighted.
Well, I stumbled in the darkness, lost and alone. Though I said I'd go before us and show the way back home. There's a light up ahead, I can't hold on very long. Well, I love you pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Money's just something you throw off the back of a train. Got a head full of lightning and a hat full of rain, and I know that I said I'd never do it again. Well, forgive me, pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. I put food on the table and a roof overhead, but I trade it all tomorrow for the highway instead. Watch your back, keep your eyes shut tight. Your love's the only thing I've ever known. Well, I love you pretty baby, but I always take the long way home. Ooh. Oh, you know I love more than the whole wide world. I'm your woman. You know you are my pearl. Let's go out past the party lights, where we can finally be alone. Come with me together, we can take the long way home. Come with me together, we can take the long way home. Come with me together, we can take the long way home.
Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, we have an audience here applauding quietly in the background. That was beautiful. Those are my guests, Kyleen Austin, obviously on voice and guitar, which you didn't hear as strongly because we're on one mic, and Andrew Emlin on cello, of course, and backup vocals. Which was, yeah. We need to get you in here fully, Mike. Actually, we need to get people out to hear you. Are you going to be playing anywhere? Or are you leaving town again?
I'm going to be playing in Colorado.
Kyleen, you promised you were moving here. What's going on?
Well, I live here. This is home. I have accepted the fact that this is home and acted accordingly. But I have some gigs in Colorado for the month of November.
Okay.
And
that's
a
good
sister there and family Thanksgiving. And
it's going to be cold, but we, you know.
But my favorite one to talk about is the I'm playing on the 17th of November at the Left Hand Brewery in Longmont. And I think it's a match made in heaven. Left Hand guitar player, Left Hand Brewery.
You know,
perfect.
I didn't even realize that. That's true.
Yeah, I guess people can't see that I play left-handed. I play in the right direction.
So how does this work? Did you flip the thing upside down, or did you restring, or what?
This guitar is a Taylor, and it's actually factory made left. So all the bridging and everything in it is
really
designed to be for left-handed play. So
I had no idea they did that.
Flipped around. But typically, if you get one converted, yeah, you basically are just restringing it. You have to put a couple new pieces on it. But the bracing isn't as solid because it's the heavier strings are at the end that doesn't have the extra. In some guitars, most
have they
guitars
always made left-handed guitars, or is this by demand or what?
I have a whole song about this. But
good.
Only 10% of the population is left-handed, and of those, 90% are taught to play right-handed and made to play right-handed.
Exactly.
And so it is tough getting a hold of left-handed guitars and left-handed guitar picks. In particular.
Wow. Left-handed guitar picks. Now we're getting specific here. Wow.
Well, this Andrew, isn't a flat pick. This
Andrew
is a finger pick.
Andrew is a... Oh, right. Of course. So as a finger pick, it has to be suited to...
Yeah.
Andrew's right-handed. He's definitely not normal, but he is right-handed.
There is no left-handed cello.
No.
You'd bump into everyone else in the orchestra.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You have to sort of fit in. Well, it's interesting because I've run into a lot of musicians and other artists who were forced to switch hands. They were smacked. Their left hand was tied behind their backs. I won't point out any specific people, but it was definitely done. So I'm glad that you were able to flourish in your natural way because you are good. And the last time you were here, you were still not living here. Let's put it that way.
Well, I am now.
And we're delighted, aren't we, Andrew?
Oh, yeah.
Good job getting her here. So do you two play together much of the time? Is that?
Yeah, quite a bit, actually. And this last season, we played down in Portland. We played down in Portland last month at the Tonic Lounge, and then I've been able to join him on a couple of folk-type programs recently. What am I missing?
And we're scheduled for a house concert in Oysterville at Sydney and Niall Stevens.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and that's when Kyleen comes back? Is that the idea?
Yeah,
okay.
Not till March.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So we'll
I'm only gone for November.
We'll hear more about that later. And Andrew, do you still have your band?
Yeah, still have the band.
Okay. The Willapa Hills,
indeed.
Okay. And are you guys playing anywhere coming up?
No, we had a band member needed a break, and so we're taking a break.
Okay.
And I've got other things I'm working on now.
I'm sure you're always working on something, so that's good. Do you want to play us a little bit more music, and then just please stay in touch so that we know when you actually have a gig. We just wanted to squeeze you in before you ran away again. And I understand you're trying to figure out which part of the area you want to settle in. It's very amusing because, isn't that your song, Andrew, the Kathlamet versus Skamakawe?
Yeah, that's right.
That's your song, which is hysterical because to most people, it's like, I'm sorry, aren't they all the same? And they are pretty much the same to most of us, but not to the folks who live there. So Kylene's checking it all out, deciding which suits. So.
Well, this next song is actually one that I wrote about this area.
Okay.
I first came here about a year and a half ago and have been coming back and forth ever since, and wrote this during that entire process, and it's called Why Not.
Okay, let's hear it. Kylene Austin, Andrew Emlyn. Okay, well, we're glad that you decided that the why not has been answered and that you're going to stick around here. We're delighted to have a good time in Colorado. Be sure to come back. And Andrew, you are always a joy to have here. So thank you so much, Andrew Emlyn on cello and the little backup vocals in the first piece, and Kylene Austin on vocals, guitar, and original pieces. So I'm going to let them go. My last guests are here. They are everything you could possibly want. Actually, I'm going to just read you a few things while they move out, and I'm going to have you guys move over. And I'll tell you what's going on, and then we'll have them speak for themselves. This is the weekend of stormy weather, the Stormy Weather Festival in Cannon Beach, and there's stuff going on all over town in all of the galleries. Tonight there are openings, tomorrow night especially, and I want to point out that Scott Johnson's over at the White Bird. Love his stuff. The Cannon Beach Gallery has miniature show. And also, don't forget Saints and Sinners tomorrow. Somebody did pick up the ticket. I do have something else very special to give away right now. I don't have time to play his music, but if you are a lucky one, you might call in right now, 503-325-0010, and pick up a ticket for Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks for next Saturday night. That's November 9th at the Liberty Theater. Just saying it once. Take it or leave it. Tonight, the Astoria Library has Cree filmmaker Neil Diamond's movie at 6 p.m., and Maggie Stuckey is tomorrow at the Time Enough Books. The Sand Trap is Moody Little Sister tonight. And Reggae Bubbler, there goes the ticket, at Sand Dune. Yeah, well, there go three tickets, only we only have one. Sorry, folks. Listen in to Coast Community Radio now during the week, and you might get lucky also. These are very good tickets, I might add. Of course, if you do want to usher, you should call the Liberty Theater and find out how you can get trained. Riversea Gallery tomorrow night is having openings for David Lee Myers and a whole bunch of group show on water. And Saints and Sinners, I mentioned, Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum. The History Center has Constance Wisenin's Crossing Boundaries. And, Sweet Basil's, Terry Robb, so much going on. But now my guests are here to tell you what's going on at Kala, which is on Marine Drive and 10th Street between 10th and 11th on Sunday. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 7:30. And I will welcome my guests, Wes Andrews and Elvis. Wes is an actor and musician, and Elvis, poet and artist. And this is a multidisciplinary show. And I'm just going to read you something I read. Oregon Arts Watch loved it. They loved you guys, obviously. and you got to see these two. They are both absolutely adorable. Oh. It's true. Come on now. You know it. They're adorable. Rhapsodized with romantic swells and swoons. I'm going to let them tell you what it is because I don't know how much we're allowed to give away. So welcome to Elvis and to Wes.
Thanks.
And thank you.
Elvis has a rather unusual spelling, but that's how it's pronounced. And we're going with it. So
set the record straight.
You only have about 5 minutes. So tell us what it is as much as you want to share, mm-hmm. because it sounds like it's going to be a dynamite show.
Sure. It's a multidisciplinary theater show written and performed by Elvis and myself. And it's the story of a straight man and a lesbian woman who fall in love with the same girl again from high school. And they're roommates and they're best friends, and what that love triangle does to their unique relationship and how it pits the world seemingly against them. We wrote it last year, and we premiered it in a furniture store as part of the City Arts Festival.
And this was where?
In Seattle.
In Seattle.
Yeah,
okay.
We're from Seattle. This we're in Astoria on Sunday as part of our Northwest tour. And so that's what the story is about. Why don't you tell them kind of what it looks like?
Well, two of us are storytelling, so we're describing the story as we go. There's also a visual element. I have an old school Kodak carousel slide projector with some found images that's projected throughout the entire piece.
Nice.
And we both play music through it. I'm on the glockenspiel, and Wes is on guitar.
Okay,
and
so
I'm singing a bit, and for that I'm very sorry.
But you were elected to do that. Okay, because we did fit in everything, actor, musician, poet, and artist, but I didn't know, you know, how much bleed over there is. Mm-hmm. So, who are you two? Were you really roommates? Have you known each other? I mean, you're both quite young, or at least you look young. Are you both trained in the arts, or are you just natural? You bumped into each other? Did this really happen? Because I know people where it has really happened. Why not, after all? So what's the story?
Yeah, if the show were on sale in a bookstore, it'd be categorized under fiction. It's a theater show. Uh-huh. You know, the we play ourselves, but what's that disclaimer they put in movies? Not depicted in real life, something,
right.
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and nobody hurt. I don't know about that part.
Yeah. we both live in Seattle, mm-hmm. and we decided to collaborate on this show. I approached Elvis at first because I'm such a big fan of her work. She's been doing these slideshow projects in Seattle for a long time, uh-huh. and we decided we wanted to go on tour. And so we're in Astoria. We're in Portland tonight and tomorrow night at Action Adventure Theater. And if anyone's listening from Portland or is going
where is
there,
that?
It's near some warehouses and the Amtrak tracks.
Okay, okay, must be okay.
It's on Clinton Street in Southeast. Yeah. It's Action Adventure. org.
That's good.
And we, you know, we want to tell a story about a unique friendship. We have really similar philosophies in how what theater should be, what we mm-hmm. want it to accomplish. And then as we kept working, we wound up writing a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just kind of naturally flowed that way. We brainstormed some ideas and just kind of went with it.
So have you, either of you, done theater pieces before?
Yeah, I have a degree in theater arts. Mm-hmm. That's been my that's my vocation, and it's been a hobby and a passion. And now
mostly as an actor, or also directing or writing, or
you know, we're both monologuists, and so we tend to perform our own material.
Okay,
and so this is really kind of a monologuist duet, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely,
it's an experimentation
in
form.
Yeah.
Well, I come from a stage writing background. Ellis from a poetry background, and the kind of the music curating was my contribution on that side, and the visual art is Elvis's contribution.
Yeah.
And this is the first time you've worked together.
Yeah, yeah, this is our first collaboration.
And apparently it's working really well. If the Oregon Arts Watch loved you, I mean, obviously you hit the top to begin with, so you're going to keep going up into the stars, into the skies. That's wonderful.
I don't know how we could go up from here, though, talking to you.
Shucks. So look at that. And Radio Virgins, too. I tell you, or at least this radio station, I don't know. So do you imagine that this is could be a kickoff, though? I mean, are you getting ideas for other things you might do, or was this very specifically the theme that you wanted to deal with?
This one started off as just a...
Because it's somewhat political as well.
Yeah, as a proposal to a specific arts event that we did last year. Mm-hmm. And we've kicked around different ideas for other projects as far as collaborating. And we're just hoping to take this one as far as we can go.
Excellent. Okay, folks, I wish I had more time to give them, but what you really need to do, the show is called, after all, Everything, Everything, Everything. So how can you lose? It's at Kala Hipfish. Kala's at 1017 Marine Drive on the south side of the street between 10th and 11th. If you've ever been there, you know it's a great venue, and it's got cutting edge stuff, and obviously this fits right into the area. So thank you, Dinah, for bringing in material like this. It is this Sunday. Doors open at 7, and the show starts at 7:30. It is not a huge venue, so get there and get your tickets. You might even be able to get them in advance if you stop by there. So thank you so much for being in Astoria.
Oh, we
for
love it.
Bringing your art here, and good. We'll see you back here then.
All right, thank you
okay.
so much.
Wes Andrews and Elvis. I don't know whether Elvis uses her last name.
Strauss.
Okay, we got you. Thanks so much. And it is 4 o'clock and time for the next show.